was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. Happy New Year. Walter M. Sterling on New Year's Eve, and I have a co-host tonight, Ashley Benson.
Rebecca Romijn played my mom. I was obsessed with her, and it was on ABC. Everyone was super excited about it. We just thought it would be a huge hit. Huge. I was in a movie. My agents called me 3 times. I was like, oh no, this is either really good or horrible. And I stepped outside, and they told me that my show got canceled.
Well, the one thing I know for sure that is appealing to you is Lesbians in Space, the most popular feature ever created on Sterling on Sunday. We're going to feature it tonight. Are you ready? Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. Lesbians in Space on the Sevens.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
Are you
going to
marry me?
No, I...
Hey. What's up? O que a gente tá lá me isola? Uhum. No, I'm just here with the wife. Or just watching Friends. Well, I'm working tomorrow, so I'm gonna go to bed soon. You okay? Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'll call you in the morning then. Okay, bye.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Walter Sterling, good evening. It's New Year's Eve. It's great to be with you. You know what's great about working on New Year's? Have you ever worked on New Year's or New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Have you ever worked it like I'm working right now for you, making a brand new show, not an embarrassing best of, not the shame of American radio?
Well, here's a best of.
There's no such thing as a best of talk show. A best of talk show is dead fish. Would you eat dead fish, uncooked? Of course not. Is that sushi? What'd they do? They gave us warm wine and raw fish. Is that the thanks for World War II? That's what I thought. Good evening. If you've ever worked on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day or Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, you know that no matter what effort is made, no matter who's involved with it, no matter what's responsible, nothing works right. The photocopier doesn't work. The printer never works. Everybody loves their computer. Nobody loves their printer. That's what we have when we go to work on these nights. And old Charlie, who can fix everything, crafty Susan, who can fix everything, not available, completely unavailable. If you work in radio, and I pray for you if you do, the tragedy is that right now, when I'm making this show, I can hear myself on about a 2-second delay in my headphones. Now, I want you to think about doing that for 3 hours. And the fact that, oh, gee, I can't listen to you on the phone. It's a tragedy. And I'm not really sure what I'm not supposed to do next because there's no talkback system, you know, where the people who work with me get to talk to me. There's none of that. And I'm supposed to like, oh, but we have a text system. I can use the text. Now, I'm not a text guy. I'm a talk to me on the phone or send me an email guy. I'm not a text guy because, as you know, if you don't actually have that person's name in your phone directory, when it pops up, you just see a number. I get random numbers, and I'm supposed to respond to this. Here was my last set of texts. From the control room. I saw you connected. Can you talk down the line? Sounds good. I can't talk to you because of the Comrex, which is why we should use QGo Live. Hey, Walter, I believe I got the phones working. Now, what year is this? 2024 almost. And son of a gun, after 2024, 125 years, maybe we have the phones working. And then, hello, Walter, are you ready? And he has my co-host ready, Ashley Benson, and then it says 10 seconds. Now, that assumes, if somebody gives me a cue for 10 seconds, that assumes that I'm looking at it exactly when that text went through. Otherwise, it'll be 1 second, or I'll be over by 20 seconds. I'd have to be looking at the text in order to know that it's 10 seconds, and that 10 seconds would have any meaning. But I'm not unique. I bet if you work at Walmart on New Year's Eve, the handheld computer devices that you walk around with don't really work that well. That would be my guess. And if you are at a computerized cash register system in a retail store, I'll bet you they go down. And what happens when it runs out of paper? What happens when the cash register runs out of paper? That's a disaster. But I want to talk to you about New Year's Eve and an amazing perspective on the spectacle in Times Square tonight. Happy New Year, or New Year. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by pilot error.
Keep us out over the lake south of the city for now at 3,000 feet, but I'm not sure we're going to maintain 3,000 very easy.
All right, good evening. Happy New Year's.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we're going to go to Largo. And a couple years ago, this guy who was 76 at the time had some car trouble. So he took it to a mechanic. Mechanic, 50 years old. We're talking about not just grown men. These are older men who should know better. But it turns out that the 76-year-old man was not happy with the job that the mechanic did. Well, here it is 2 years later. And I don't know what has happened in the last 2 years because the story doesn't tell us, but this feud has now escalated. And one day, the guy, now 78 years old, this Florida man shows up at his Florida mechanic's garage, pulls out a gun, and shoots him. The mechanic's, the garage owner pulls out his gun and shoots the 78-year-old guy. Well, people are freaking out and calling the cops. The ambulance get there, but not in time. Both Florida men died. Both Florida men killed each other at the same time. They both lost. And what's the Florida twist? Come on, dude. Does there have to be a Florida twist on that? These two guys shot and killed each other at the same time. I mean, a 78-year-old guy's running out there. His first 78 years of his life, no murders. But in the 78th year, he just decided he's going to take a life. That's not weird enough for you. And it's not weird enough that the shop owner that he went to when he shot him, he was carrying a gun and he just pulled it out and shot him back. When's the last time this happened in your town? Probably never. Unless you're in like Lincoln County, New Mexico, never. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to an unincorporated part of Marion County, Florida. And in this Florida story, we have a guy who shows up yelling outside of a house. He swears he needs to protect the woman inside and that she is in danger. So she comes out on her porch, tries to shoo him away. So she goes back in, shuts the door, locks it. He kicks it in. And then he comes in and he sits down on the couch. And you know what he asks for? Do you have any water? Yes, I would like a glass of water. She got him a glass of water. Anything else I can do for you, random messed up stranger who just kicked in my front door and is sitting on my couch? She's like, do you have anything to smoke? She said, no, I do not have anything to smoke. And the story's not clear if he was asking for a cigarette or weed or bath salts, or it's Florida, so who knows what, straight up crystal meth or banana peels. I don't know. Story's weird enough already. So then she gets on the phone and she calls the cop and dude runs out. And the weird part is, and I don't know what part of stranger, the story says that it's not apparent whether or not they knew each other previously. And I don't know which scenario is weirder. If she knew the guy, then he just comes in and breaks in, asks for a glass of water and leaves. That doesn't seem right. But if she doesn't know the guy, he just comes in, asks for a glass of water and then leaves. That's not right either. So I'm going to chalk it up to the classic Florida excuse of drugs.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is the usual edition from Public Radio. I've just completed a 6-month summer sabbatical studying the spotted owls of Mallorca. Today, we explore enviable mother of three who, for the past 15 years, lives in China and sent her children to Chinese public schools while she stayed home designing dresses. No word yet from her husband.
Some parents would say, you know, get in there, be more active. And parents would say, well, I do that in my household. But when I send my children into the communities and I send them to school, I can't control everything. I can't police everything. The communities are no longer strong. They're not supporting kids and bringing them up the right way. You know, their role in it, if you will.
The Return of Rachel episode is made possible by the Green River Tourism Society. If you're going to make a podcast, remember, all mysteries are solved at Green River, Georgia. And by overextended families who wear all tweed.
Now, I would like to share with you some of my adventures from the Owl Kingdom. First, here's the sound of the Canadian owl. And now the owl from the eyeglass commercial.
You paid too much for those glasses.
Who?
You. Designer frames? Well, so are these. And these. And these.
So subtle. Owls are hysterical. And now, let's enjoy this week in review as we explore the new stories of the past 3 days.
In fact, the only kind of technology available is a small black and white TV set in their cell. And inmates only receive this TV if they demonstrate a good behavior over a long period of time. El Chapo gets to watch TV if he wants, but the prison selects the programs.
There is more news from spokeswoman Pam Anderson.
And my grandfather taught me, you know, you're not an extension of the small town. You're not an extension of your parents. You're a brand new light given to this planet to do whatever you want with.
And, of course, Lori Loughlin.
They have welcomed me with such open arms at a time when I was feeling particularly down and broken. That's how I found a home here. And that's what I feel like they did for me. And that's why I'm so proud to be here and working with this organization, because they really do care.
We, as always, on the Usual Edition, welcome music from a food processor. Remember, gold is like my name, Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Now, the music from a food processor.
Sterling on Sunday. I've always found this to be amateur night. Even in my youth, I did not go out on New Year's Eve because people who never drink suddenly drink, and they don't know how to behave. I used to prefer to go out with the sales department. They drank every night. They knew how to drink. They knew how to behave. They knew how to get to the train within a nanosecond of getting back to Greenwich on time. Within a nanosecond, those guys knew exactly when to put down the drink, leave Hurley's, leave PJ Clark's, leave the 21 Club if they were the sales manager, and get going. And you see, and here's the challenge. Right now, I'm doing this with the strangest studio setup between myself and the control room. And this strange setup, I'm supposed to get cues by text. I can't get them in the earphones, which is how I usually do it. But the problem is that the time is not going to be correct. And if somebody were to text to me, you have 10 seconds to go or 20 seconds, that assumes I'm looking at the phone at that second and that they've compensated for the time it took them to type that in and hit send. There's no way to do a seconds warning. What I'm going to have to do tonight is the one thing that I fear most in life, which is, I can't even say it. There's some very bad hosts who insist on playing music before they go into commercials. That's the dumbest thing they could do, because all that does is extend the commercial break and make you miserable. There's no reason to play music on a talk show. That's self-indulgent crap. That means they didn't prepare the show. That's what I'm going to have to do to make this technically work, because I don't know the clock of the people in the control room. I have no idea. And you can't do a text on a, you know, 10 seconds. Yeah, well, really? When did the 10 seconds start? When you started typing? When you hit send? That's crazy talk. Well, it's a challenge, a spiritual challenge. New Year's Eve. You have probably looked at the shows from Times Square Carson Daly from Times Square and Dick Clark from Times Square and thought, God, you look at all those people having fun. That's incredible. That must be a remarkable experience. And let me assure you, it is a remarkable experience. It is such a remarkable experience, my friend, that no New Yorker would even dream of going to Times Square on New Year's Eve. Would never happen if they had 10 beautiful hotshots in their home over that weekend. They would begging them to take them. But, you know, we're from Des Moines. We're from Chicago. We've always wanted to see Times Square. We're from Chicago. Chicago. We've always wanted to see Times Square. Okay. It isn't going to happen. No New Yorker will take you there. And I'll tell you why. It's not what it looks like. It's an optical illusion. The illusion is that you see a happy crowd that seems to be organized and orderly. What you don't see is that crowd is trapped. When you get to Times Square on New Year's Eve, you will enter police barricades. You will enter a cattle call of police barricades, like when you see cattle's going to slaughter and they get in this chute of barricades, zigzag, zigzag, zigzag to their death. That's what happens in Times Square on New Year's Eve. There's this zigzag, zigzag that goes up to where that clock is. And, you know, I'll bet you we have ambient sound effect of New Year's Eve. I'll bet you one of those clips that you've got is ambient sound effect of New Year's Eve on Times Square. And that would help me tell this story because I'm not sure what's going to help me get through this show. Hold on a sec. Well, I was optimistic. Well, you enter Times Square at whatever street you can get to where the crowd has ended, gun, and you find yourself in police barricades zigzagging through Times Square. Once you enter that barricade, one portion of the barricade, once that's filled up, it is sealed off. You cannot leave. Hello, let me repeat. Once you get into Times Square, you cannot leave until midnight. You are stuck there until midnight. Now think about that. You say, well, you know, I'll get a really good position. I'll show up at 4 o'clock and I'll be really close to the ball. Yes, you will. And you will not leave. And usually, although tonight, boy, it's wacky. Usually it's 20 below. And you're stuck there in 20 below. You came from Miami of Florida, not the school of Ohio. Miami from Florida. You're wearing what you think are heavy clothes, which is a long sleeve shirt and a long pair of pants. And you think you're in heavy clothes and you're freezing and you are stuck. Oh, but I got to go to the bathroom. There are no porta potties. There's no porta john. There is nothing for you to relieve yourself. And you've been there since 4. Now just imagine that. You've been there since 4. You can't get out. What are you going to do? You're going to go to the bathroom in your pants. That's all you can do. You're stuck. It is the worst experience imaginable. No New Yorker has ever been in Times Square on New Year's Eve. What do New Yorkers do? They hide in their apartments. Because they're not going to go out on the street with the amateurs who are throwing up in front of their apartments, who are bashing their windows, who are throwing up on the windows of their car. They're not going to go outside. No sane New Yorker would go out on New Year's Eve. Plus the fact that for 2 glasses of champagne and a piece of ground beef and a potato, they're going to charge you $250 at a restaurant, and you don't have a reservation. I'm sorry, we're sorry. No New Yorker goes to Times Square on New Year's Eve, but I will tell you where smart people go on New Year's Eve. They go to Rome, Italy. And you and I will share that story coming up in just seconds. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And you and I can always be in touch. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Everyone gets answered, waltermsterling@gmail.com. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by pilot error.
Keep us out over the lake south of the city for now at 3,000 feet. But I'm not sure we're going to maintain 3,000 very easy.
Those are produced rejoins. There are 30 of them. Why that would repeat, I don't know. But it goes to the central premise of working on New Year's Day and New Year's Eve, which is that nothing works. Even if you've got the best people working with you, the equipment refuses to work on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That little rejoin is in bed with 20, 30 other ones that you haven't heard, because that one, which is the worst one, keeps getting repeated. Why is this annoying me? All right, let's see. Oh, what do you really want? Not traffic on the 8s. Nobody cares about traffic on the 8s. What we care about is lesbians on the 7s.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I'm not really the fix your car, build you a dresser type lesbian. I'm more the can lift heavy things, open a tight lid, really good with babies lesbian. Which one are you?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
47 past the hour, 47 past the hour, there will be the next Lesbians in Space on the 7s. Because nobody really cares about traffic on the 8s, because now you can get the traffic in 10,000 different ways. You don't need it on the 8s or the 10s or the 1s. The curse of whatever genius came up with that is haunted by us. What I think this is a good time to talk about and think about is resolutions. Resolutions for the new year, but not for you, because you will never keep your resolutions. I know what your resolutions are already. Save your money, lose 22 pounds, be nicer to your significant other and to your spouse, do more volunteer work, and save money, right? Okay, so we don't need to go over yours, but this is a good time to think of New Year's resolutions for others. New Year's resolutions you wish other people would take, for example, like Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon, host of The Tonight Show, one day is going to realize that his title is host. And what does a host do? The job of a host is what Johnny Carson and David Letterman used to do, which was make a guest look good. That's the job of a host. If it's a dinner party or your barbecue or your sex orgy, it's to make your host look good. That's the job. Jimmy Fallon thinks he's a co-guest. Every time he brings out a guest, he brings out Jennifer Lawrence, he brings out Taylor Swift, and he starts to do a whole bit and act that we don't care about with them rather than interviewing them and finding out something about them that we didn't know. And he's so nervous and jumpy that it's uncomfortable to watch. My New Year's resolution for Jimmy Fallon of The Tonight Show is stop being a co-guest and start being a real host, which means shut up, sit down, and listen. My co-host tonight is Ashley Benson. Ashley, good evening.
Don't push it too hard. I'm just thinking about farts.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I looked behind the wrong curtain, and we can easily edit that. Oh, God, please. Brittany Snow is here. Brittany, good evening. Hello. Well, I don't hear anybody. I don't hear Brittany. I don't hear Ashley, and yet I've gone through great trouble to bring you Ashley and Brittany. So that's very disappointing. Okay. Let's see. So resolutions for others. Think about that. Resolutions that you would have for other people who are not, that just annoy you. Think about the person you work with. What's a resolution for them? That they stop wearing the cheap cologne? That they stop wearing that hideous green shirt that they got in 1978 at a disco? Is that the resolution? How about the resolution of not having to hear another person say, yeah, I'm going to cut my cable. All right, you go cut your cable and then just subscribe to all the services you really want. And you know what the result will be? The result will be that you will be paying more than if you had kept your cable. That's what you're going to find out when you cut your cable. Guaranteed. What other resolutions for other people? Let's think about this a second. What are your resolutions for other people? I know. Resolutions for other people is that your partner, your spouse, finally admits that they get very agitated whenever they visit their parents. Oh, my parents are great, my parents are fine, whatever. But they always get very agitated and irrational about an hour before they visit their parents, about an hour after they visit their parents. It's not a healthy thing. Or that they finally admit to you that their lives are controlled by the sister-in-law, that your sister-in-law controls your life. Those are the things that I wish people would admit as their New Year's resolution. The other thing is, the resolution for other people, my resolution for other people, I wonder what you think. But my resolution for other people is that they only shop in the supermarket alone. Whenever two people shop together in the supermarket, it triples the amount of time it takes to buy the food. And then they like, oh, we don't need that big a can of cranberries. We can use half the size. And then they argue over the size of cranberries, the price point being 3 cents difference. My resolution for the state of Ohio and most Midwestern states is that they stop the pump your own gas. The state of New Jersey is the last state where you cannot pump your own gas, and that is right. And it fits in with the total elegance of the state of New Jersey, right? The total ambiance of the state of New Jersey. It makes perfect sense that they would be white glove when it came to pumping gas, right? They would be white glove when they came to pumping gas. You cannot pump your own gas in the state of New Jersey. If every state required that there was at least the option to have someone else pump your own gas, which is not true in Ohio. It's not true in Indiana. I've never seen any Midwest state where there's the option of having somebody pump your gas. It's all self-serve. Well, I don't want to pump my own gas. I have no interest in getting out in 20-degree weather, getting my hands stinky, and running the risk of the car not starting again. Every state should have somebody to pump my gas. If every state did that, had a rule that each gas station must have somebody on duty to pump your gas, because they're handicapped people. They're people for whom this is really difficult. They're the people with the screaming baby in the back. It's really difficult. It would solve all unemployment problems. There are about 33,000 gas stations in America. Imagine if they all had to hire, whenever they're open, at least one person to pump your gas. You know what that would do to the unemployment? Dramatically drop. It would be the smartest thing we can do. Some of my New Year's resolutions for other people. New Year's for other people. This is New Year's Eve. It's a brand new radio show. I'm Walter Sterling. This is called Sterling on Sunday. You and I are driving across the country on Route 80 on the Luge, otherwise known as I-90, up and down I-4 in Florida, which for some reason is marked that it goes north and south when through most of it, like in Orlando, it goes east and west. Very confusing to me. And the 1960 area in Texas. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
I'm J.J. Wilson with the latest edition of Drive Thru Brew. Now, in tonight's riveting drama, the manager learns that a secret shopper, a.k.a. corporate spy, will soon arrive to inspect the drive-thru's restrooms. Let's listen.
Okay, thanks. We'll be ready. Jake, heads up. I just got a tip from a friend at headquarters. A secret shopper is on her way over here to check us out. And word is she's a stickler for clean restrooms, toilets, sinks, trash cans, everything.
No sweat. I just cleaned the bathrooms yesterday.
Well, we gotta do them again. Let's go.
What's this person look like?
She's short with brown hair, and she's kind of chunky.
Exactly 35 minutes later, a woman with brown hair showed up.
Gentlemen, bring me a case of root beer. And, mind if I use your restroom?
Of course not. Right over there.
10 minutes later, when the woman returned to her car...
So, how was everything?
Excuse me?
In the restroom, did everything go okay?
What are you, some kind of pervert?
I mean, everything passed satisfactorily? No problems of any kind?
What's your name, mister?
Aren't you our secret shopper?
No, but I happen to be a plainclothes cop, and I'm gonna keep an eye on you two.
Ouch. Not good. But listen next time when the real secret shopper arrives and says,
Hi, I'm new in town, and I happen to have OCPD. Mind if I check for dust on your fire extinguisher?
That's next time on Drive Thru Brew, Word Car speaking.
Happy New Year. Well, New Year. In my life, maybe yours, Rebecca, or yours, Anne, or Neil Paul and Judy Paul, Happy New Year. Maybe in your life, but never in mine. I never went out on New Year's. I was terrified to go out at New Year's because people who normally don't drink, drink. And it's random. Their violence is random. Usually directed at my car. Usually they throw up on my car and they think they're having a great time. Real New Yorkers never go to Times Square. Doesn't happen. Would never happen. That's how we know you're from out of town. If you say, boy, I'd really like to go to Times Square on New Year's. No, you wouldn't. Because as I've explained, you go to New Year's on, you go to Times Square on New Year's, you're stuck. You're trapped in police stanchions. You can't see them from the long shots they show of those crowds, the long shots of the crowd. You don't realize that those crowds are in pens with no porta potties. Let's just think about that. They're drinking, and you can't bring anything in. You're not going to have any fun. You can't carry in a cooler. I have no idea why anybody would go to that. But this is the time of year when you and I think about bucket lists, the things that we're going to do differently, the promises that you and I are going to make. Now, we took care of all of our friends and family at Christmas and Hanukkah. We gave out the gifts. We gave. And then we noticed that our gifts were much fewer than the ones we gave out. And we're trying to be spiritual and not have a resentment, because resentments will kill us. Resentments will corrode our soul and make us worthless to other people, make us useless. We don't want resentments. What we want is joy. And we make a list of things that will give us joy. What are the things that you and I can do this year that will give us joy? On my bucket list for years and years and years has been, I'm not going to take a vacation to the Jersey Shore or to the mountain lakes in Maine or to the Santa Monica beaches or the Malibu beaches. I'm going to go to the French Riviera. 20 years ago, when I asked my wife to get married, I did it by kneeling in the waters of the Mediterranean in Monaco. In my opinion, Monaco is the most wonderful place on earth because, unlike many other places that are surrounded by wealth that'll just make you feel poor, in Monaco I felt rich. Monaco makes everybody feel wealthy. There are two beaches in Monaco. The beaches in Monaco are very unusual in that they are covered with beautiful, luxurious beach chairs. And I'm going to sit down in this beach chair. Let me just sit down in this beach chair. Oh, no, sir, you can't sit in that beach chair. You have to make a reservation for it. And then you realize that each square inch of the beaches of Monaco are owned by various restaurants. And you can reserve that chair for 10 a.m., and it can be yours all day, but they do expect you to order food, and you want the food, because this is French Riviera food. Now you're sitting on the beach at Monaco. Join me. Just imagine this. You lie down on this incredibly comfortable chair. The temperature is a perfect 74 degrees. There's a very light breeze off the Mediterranean, which is always calm. and safe. And I believe there's a barrier reef around it that prevents anything resembling a shark. You're safe there. You can see nice little fish. And you're in the French Riviera in Monaco. Now you're lying on your beach chair, which you've reserved. It's yours all day. And there's a menu. And you start to order French food to be brought to your beach chair on the beach in Monaco. Now, ladies, cover your ears unless you're a lesbian. Cover your ears unless you're a lesbian. Because the beach is a topless beach. It's a topless beach. And that means that as far as you see good news. French food, 74 degrees, comfortable beach chair all day, Mediterranean water, which is usually like 75 degrees, and it's a topless beach. There's nothing greater. You and I are going to the French Riviera this October. That's our bucket list. You and I are going to go. I have talked about the French Riviera and a world-class travel organization called Colette Travel, which only does very small batch exclusive trips, has arranged a trip for you and me, Midnight Misfits, Sterling on Sunday listeners, to go to the French Riviera. We have a hotel in Cannes. No, I'm sorry. We have a hotel in Nice. 9-day trip, one hotel. They said, Mr. Sterling, what's important to you in a trip like this? I said, I'm not changing hotels. 9 days, you and I are in one hotel in Nice. A beautiful hotel in Nice.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I saw your Ali. You're not in love with him. Being loved is different from loving someone. You need to love. Take care of yourself, your own needs. Then you will blossom.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Sterling on Sunday. You and I, what was that? Oh, that was Lesbians in Space on the 7s. All through this New Year's Eve show. When it's 07, 17, 27, 37, 47, 57, we will hear Lesbians in Space. Because it's New Year's Eve. And I know this is the show you that it's what you like best. Find out about our trip to the French Riviera. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And right on top of the homepage, you will see all the information about the trip to the French Riviera. Click on it. Sign up. Get the information. No obligation. Just get the facts. waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Get the facts about the French Riviera and your bucket list for 2024. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession. Capable of enriching the lives of millions.
It's New Year's Eve, and this is a brand new Sterling on Sunday. Other shows may be on the air, but they're not brand new. They're best ofs. There's no such thing as a best of talk show. Anybody who puts on a best of talk show should have their license in jeopardy. I swear to you, there's no reason to not make a brand new show. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and I have a co-host tonight for New Year's. Welcome, Ashley Benson. Hello, Ashley.
Rebecca Romijn played my mom. I was obsessed with her. And it was on ABC. Everyone was super excited about it. We just thought it would be a huge hit. Huge. I was in a movie. My agents called me 3 times. I was like, oh, no, this is either really good or horrible. And I stepped outside, and they told me that my show got canceled.
At 7 minutes past every hour, 7, 17, 27, We're going to have lesbians in space on the sevens, just like traffic on the ones. Nobody cares about that. But you want this. This is Lesbians in Space on the Sevens.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
How long ago was the breakup?
Like 2 years ago, but, you know, it's still, like, rough.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you? You're pretty hot. You should definitely, like, be my girl. Without, like, the officialness, you know? Because, like, I'm not ready for that yet. And, I mean, honestly, I'm probably not going to be ever, so.
Okay. But, like, are you still going to talk to other people?
I'm probably not. So you probably shouldn't because I'm not. But, like, if I do, you can't get mad at me because, like, we're not official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just, like, really emotionally unavailable right now. So, like, I really don't want to hold you down. But, like, I'm probably not going to talk to other people. So you probably shouldn't either.
Okay. Do you think, like, down the road you'll be open to, like, a real relationship?
Probably not.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if this is gonna work.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
The next Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. It's 17, 27, 37, 47, and 57 Lesbians in Space, all New Year's Eve, Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Yes, it's true. He has a job. Hard to believe, but a radio fact. A lot of times on the radio, you'll hear people spewing things and sounding very official, but if you listen carefully, you realize those are radio facts. They're not substantiated by any known source. It's worse than WikiLeaks. No known source. Excuse me. Horrible sound in my kind of ear. Have you ever been in Rome on New Year's? Have I ever told you about Rome on New Year's Eve? In Rome, Christmas is actually a religious holiday. Who knew? It's actually a religious holiday, Christmas. Therefore, there's no joyous celebrating. There aren't, everybody's house isn't decorated in really gaudy, tacky stuff that has nothing to do with God. It's a religious holiday. And of course, it encompasses Vatican City. Therefore, there's this very important person in Vatican City making it very clear that this is a religious holiday. And the Pope's Mass, I saw I went to the St. Peter's Basilica in Rome Christmas week. And when I went in there, I saw something that I did not anticipate, could not have anticipated, could not have thought of. There were men in very official suits and clipboards walking and walking the entire space. They were rehearsing the Pope's Mass. The Pope doesn't come out and do a Mass. It's the Pope's Mass on Christmas Eve. It is rehearsed like any big deal, big professional, because it is a worldwide live broadcast, which means everything that could go wrong will go wrong, and therefore they prepare, and they prepare, and oh my gosh, you do not tell them jokes. But therefore, none of the joy and hoopla that we have on Christmas Day happens in Rome. All of that energy is put into New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve in Rome, it is unlike anything you and I have ever experienced in the United States. It is far beyond what we do. What do? We overspend money starting around, I don't know, 10 o'clock tonight and going till 1 in the morning. Then you come home, you have a terrible hangover tomorrow, and that's New Year's Eve. And regret. Oh, I regret I didn't do this and that. No, no, no. New Year's Eve in Rome starts the day before. It is a 48-hour event. And whoever you're with, you are going to have sex with them. Man, woman, you're going to have sex with them. It is a guarantee that you will have sex on New Year's Eve in Rome. Absolutely for sure. Before I got married, I went to Rome for Christmas week. I always wanted to see it. I wanted to see the Pope's Mass. I wanted to see St. Philip. But I didn't know anything about New Year's in Rome. I didn't know what this was about, had no idea. I'm at this hotel at the top of the Spanish Steps in Rome, which is like their Times Square. And it's beautiful, and it's the Mediterranean, so it's 50, it's 50. There's never going to be any snow. It's never really cold in Rome, in my experience, my two experiences in Rome. And the concierge of this hotel realized that I was there alone, and I was skinnier. And it turns out there was an age-appropriate woman who was there alone. Even more amazing, I came to learn that she was with her parents. Age-appropriate, with her parents. Christmas week in Rome. The concierge introduces us in some sneaky way, and I liked her immediately, especially after she said what her name was. Her name is Dominique. Like what? Hello, I'm Dominique. I am from Switzerland. She was from Switzerland. Now, I grew up in North Jersey, 20 minutes from New York City. In my high school, there were no Dominiques. Susan, Barbara, Sally, and every iteration of Kathleen, Katie, Catherine, and every possible spelling of Kathleen, Katie, Catherine, whatever you can imagine, Kathy, Kat, that's what we had in my public high school. Sally's, Susan's, Kat's, that's what we had. Oh, it's 17 past the hour. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday, and it's time for Lesbians in Space on the 17s.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
I'm in Rome on New Year's Eve week. The week between Christmas and New Year's, I'm in Rome. And I'm single. It was a few years ago. And I'm skinny. It was a few years ago. The most weight I ever lost was on the potatoes, not Prozac diet. Brilliant diet. Eat as much as you want, just don't eat white stuff. Spaghetti, pasta, bread, sugar. No sugar. No sugar. And you will lose all the weight. And you can eat all the meat you want, all the proteins, no problem. All right, now I'm in Rome. And Rome's great because it's like New York City. The energy is like New York City. The traffic is like New York City. I was very familiar and comfortable there. It made perfect sense to me. Where and the cars go on the correct side of the road in Rome. Not so much in London. I figured London would be like New York City, but it isn't. Now the concierge has introduced me to Dominique. There's Dominique and me, and Dominique is with her parents. And then it turns out Dominique is from Switzerland. And again, in my public high school in Maplewood, New Jersey, there were no Dominiques. It was all Kathy, Sally, Susan, Sally, Kathy. That's it. And a barber. There was a barber, too, or 10. And she's Swiss and tall and trim and pretty and blondish and green-eyed-ish. And now the two of us are walking around. Well, the great thing for me about this particular vacation in Rome is it was almost 100% free in that I used up my Delta miles. I used up Delta miles to go round trip by myself to Rome and to do it first class. I had seat 1B. I prefer the aisle, thank you. On a 747, a 747 nonstop from New York City to Rome. I used my miles. Now I'm in 1B. I also have the boarding pass for the return from Rome to New York City, which was also 1B. And I was scheduled to go home on New Year's Eve, not New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. And at the time, for some reason, I guess a lot of rules had gone into effect about change fees, changing rules. I was very wary of any possibility of changing the date and time of that return trip. That wasn't going to happen in my mind. But now here's Dominique. And Dominique is a character. She's full of life. She's with her parents. She doesn't want to be in the room with her parents. And we walk around, and I had a little cold, and I was a little run down. After our first date, quote, date, I'm done. I go back to the hotel with her. I say, good afternoon, see you, we'll get together tomorrow. But Dominique wanted to come into my hotel room with me. But I wasn't up to it. I'm not kidding. I really did have a cold, as attractive as I thought she was. I didn't think it would be a good time for either of us. Things didn't smell right. Just let me nap. That's all I wanted. Well, she was a little annoyed. The next day we meet again for lunch. We have a nice lunch. And she says, when are you leaving? And I said, on New Year's Eve. And she was startled and she leaned back. And she was like, no, you stay New Year's Eve. Stay on New Year's Eve. And she's looking at me. And she's signaling me in that European girl way. Signaling that, no, Walter, if you stay, you will be rewarded. That's what she was signaling. I'm not making it up, because in my life to this moment, I've had so few moments where any woman or even a guy has signaled to me that they were interested. I was able to realize what she was communicating right away. There was nothing subtle here. We're drinking coffee in the cafe. We're having a lovely afternoon. And Dominique from Switzerland is saying, stay on New Year's Eve. Do not go home. And now I had the dilemma. Dominique or 1B? Dominique or 1B? What I did not realize was what I told you before about New Year's in Rome. I didn't know it meant sure thing. I didn't know that the whole culture of the city was built on it being a sure thing on New Year's Eve. It was guaranteed. I didn't know. And I wanted to keep it vague. We order some more croissants, some pastries. We have a lovely afternoon in Rome on Christmas week. Between Christmas and New Year's. There I am in Rome with Dominique. I didn't know any Dominiques. I didn't know any women who were clearly elegant, well-employed, nice with their parents, and yet still wanted to have sex with me. That never happened before, because having grown up in New Jersey, my idea of foreplay was 3.5 months of begging, about 8 really expensive dinners, and getting to know mom. Get to know her mom. Be sure to spend some time with her parents. Make sure that you're fascinated by his work at the plumbing goods store. That was my experience having grown up in New Jersey. A lot of dinners, listening to a lot of very boring stories, and getting to know the parents. Oh, you go to the Jersey Shore for vacation? I would have never guessed that. Who knew you went to the Jersey Shore for vacation? Never thought of it. We go to the Poconos. Oh, the Poconos used to be nice, but not so much anymore. Then you discuss with the parents the virtues of the Poconos or the Jersey Shore. That is dating in New Jersey. Where do you get your pizza? Really, King's? That's not the best. They used to be better before the old man died. Those are the romance conversations. Those are the love songs in New Jersey. The love songs in New Jersey are, where do you get your pizza? Oh, King's? Oh. It's better at Fiorentino's. We like Fiorentino's better. What do you get on your pizza? Sausage. Wow. Not many people do that anymore. Seems to be some health issues. And you go through these insane conversations with Uncle Charlie Dimitro in order to get Susan, Barbara, Becky, or Sally to agree. Meanwhile, now I'm sitting in Rome. In Rome, not Rome, New York. The real Rome. Oh, there's the Colosseum. Look at that. It's really true. It exists. It's still there. Who knew? And I'm sitting there with Dominique. In my perspective, from my history, just knowing anyone named Dominique was a score. That was hitting home plate. I knew somebody named Dominique. I win. I had achieved everything in life I needed to achieve. Dominique wanted to talk to me, forget about wanting to have sex with me, but she wanted to have sex with me on New Year's Eve. But my ticket said that I had to leave and go back to Newark on New Year's Eve on Delta in seat 1B. Seat 1B. Seat 1B on a 747 is actually what happens if you've been very good and then you die and you go to heaven. You're in seat 1B. That's what heaven means to a frequent flyer. You're, Mr. Sterling, yes, of course you're in seat 1B. I'm in seat 1B. Do I risk seat 1B or do I do it with Dominique? What did I do? In just seconds. It's New Year's Eve. You and I are together with a brand new show. This is a brand new show. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans and I canceled them. And I just said I was very sick and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, that happened.
It's 27 past the hour. Time for Lesbians in Space on the Sevens.
Job. Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
Do you
want to
marry me?
No, what's up? Aqui está a maison, né? Mm-hmm. No, I'm just here with the wife. We're just watching Friends. Well, I'm working tomorrow, so I'm gonna go to bed soon. You okay? Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'll call you in the morning then. Okay, bye.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. I'm in Rome on New Year's Eve week. And it turns out that the tradition in Rome is very different on New Year's than the tradition here. The tradition in Rome is that whoever you are with, with whom you could have a possible romantic relationship, you will have a romantic relationship in Rome on New Year's Eve. That is their culture because nothing's going on Christmas Day. That is, in fact, a religious holiday in Rome. Who knew? But they take all of that energy from Christmas and they put it into New Year's Eve, and it is a sure thing that you will have sex on New Year's Eve in Rome. I didn't really know that, but I was starting to get the picture from my newfound friend in Rome, Dominique, who's age appropriate. She's about 28, with her parents, therefore desperate to get away from her parents. Had a job, put her way ahead of most of the women I had been with. Nicely dressed, again, unusual, European, simple clothes, very pretty. Blonde-ish, green eyes-ish. And she said, do not leave. Don't go home on New Year's Eve, which is when I was going to go home. She said, go home the next day, 2 days later. And I'm terrified of losing the seat that I had gotten with my frequent flyer miles on Delta on a 747. 1B. 1B. And what did this Jersey boy do? Dominique or 1B? Dominique or 1B? Dominique had nothing scary about her. She didn't have crazy eyes. She had beautiful shoes. She had a job. She lived in Switzerland. All neutrality was available to me. What did I do? In just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by lesbians.
How long have you been into women?
I didn't say I was. Yeah, and have
to. Brand new Sterling on Sunday on New Year's Eve. Everybody else is torturing you with a best of or some other garbage. This is radio, and radio does brand new best. TV, not so much. Newspapers, wrap the dead fish. Streaming, buffering now. Most streaming is called buffering now. KMBZ in Kansas City, KMOX in St. Louis. This is New Year's Eve, and this is Sterling on Sunday. About 20 minutes till midnight on the East Coast, 2 hours to go on the West Coast. It's a coast-to-coast radio show on I-80 driving across the country. 81, the 5, the 101, you and I are together in the 18-wheeler, in the 4-wheeler, trying to make peace. I have so much respect for 18-wheelers that take the time to really decorate those trucks. I love seeing those Christmas trucks. I love seeing Christmas trucks going across the highway. And then over there, way over there in the woods, there's a little settlement, one light, one Klieg light on a pole 200 yards off the road. And there's a, surrounded by tiny houses that are glowing in Christmas lights. And you and I are cozy in our car. The temperature is just right. The heater has finally worked the way it's supposed to. We don't have to kick it every time we get in the car. We finally got it corrected. The tires are almost new, good enough, feel safe. There's no greater sensation for me. One of the most sensual and fantastic sensations is when I get out of my car to pump my own gas, which I should not have to do.
Just the like CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Number 14, favorite beauty product. Chanel bronzer. Number 15, favorite holiday, Christmas. I actually spent, when I first moved to New York, I spent my first Christmas in New York with my roommate at the time.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
No, not a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it's supposed to be. We have lesbians in space on the sevens throughout New Year's Eve. Other stations waste your time with traffic on the ones. Traffic's bad. Traffic's good. Watch out for ice. That's all you got to know. But we have lesbians in space on the sevens. Next lesbians in space on the sevens will be at 47 past this hour. We're driving across the country, and there's no greater sensation for me than to get out of the car at a gas station. Need to fill up the gas, pump it up, and it's 20 degrees out, and it's cold, and there's a light snow, and there's a flicker in the window of the gas station house that says open, open, open. And you see in there some sad Christmas decorations that are still for sale, but it's there, and you feel safe. You pump the gas, and then you get back in the car. What is there a greater feeling than after pumping gas to get back in the car? And everybody's either not there and you and I are alone, or everybody's asleep, which is what you hope for, so they don't ask you another stupid question. And the temperature in the car is just right. And you feel safe. You lock that door fast. You don't know who that was over in the bushes. You lock the door fast and you go. And you're in your own little world. Because you and I are introverts. We derive energy from solitude. Extroverts derive energy from being with other people, not me. I'm in Rome on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve, where in Rome on New Year's Eve, no matter who you're with, it's a sure thing you're going to have sex. That is the culture of Rome. I didn't know it when I went there, but boy, did I learn it. But I was scheduled to leave on New Year's Eve, and I had a free ticket. I was in 1B, first class on Delta, Rome to Newark. 1B. And for some reason, I was superstitious about wanting to change that ticket. I was afraid there wouldn't be a ticket on New Year's Day, or I'd have to go at 2 in the morning, or I'd have a change fee because that's just when they were starting to be. But Dominique looked at me and she said, stay on New Year's Eve, and signaled in all the ways possible that it would be a sure thing for me to have sex with Dominique, who was age-appropriate, beautifully dressed, and Swiss. I'm from Jersey. We don't know from Swiss. What is that, Swiss Miss? Bad chocolate milk? We don't know. What did I do? What did I do? Because you and I have moments that change our lives, and we don't always know exactly when that moment is. We get a choice, and the choice keeps us on our steady path or could lead us into something exciting, like having a girlfriend in Switzerland. She lived in Switzerland. I'm living in Manhattan. And now I have the moment of choice. What do I do? What do I do? 1B. The answer behind the square is 1B. I'm sitting in 1B on New Year's Eve, going back to Newark. I could have been sitting in the saddle on New Year's Eve with Swiss Miss enjoying the holiday, being all free. But there I was. Now, there is a postscript, and the postscript was that she had my address and I had hers, and we started to correspond, and I'm starting to get letters from Dominique in Switzerland. But, and here's the moment of choice, and here's how fate goes. At about that time, when I went back to New York, in that month, I meet the woman who became my wife. I meet the woman who gave me these three magnificent daughters, these incredible daughters, who are doing spectacularly and have given me the greatest Christmas gifts I could ever imagine. But, you know, in the back of my mind, scratching is Dominique. It was there. That option was there. The wild and crazy and free option was there. And I didn't take it. And in my life, probably having to do with my mother and my father and how I was raised, I've never taken it. I never had a bacchanal free-for-all night in my life. And do I regret that? No, I can't afford the regrets. Can't afford them. Because I look at the broad strokes, which is, do I have a great life? I have an incredible life. I have a spectacular life. I get to speak with you every week on Sterling on Sunday. It's a live radio show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast. And I want you to look at this website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And there you will learn about my bucket list, which is a trip to the French Riviera this October with you. You and I going to Nice, going to Monaco, Saint-Tropez, Cannes. It'll be spectacular. Absolutely spectacular. We'll have the best time. All right, good evening. This is Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday on New Year's.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Harvey Holiday.
Late on a Sunday night, it's Holiday with love music, and it's so sad to see good love go bad.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I saw your Ali. You're not in love with him. Being loved is different from loving someone. You need to love. Take care of yourself, your own needs. Then you will blossom.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
We're introverts. We want to be invited to the party, even though we probably won't go. We're introverts. The thought of making small talk makes our armpits sweat. So we're going to ask you really deep, intrusive, inappropriate questions to get to know you better. Hi, nice to meet you. What's your childhood trauma? We're introverts. Extroverts actually need us to feel special. After all, who else would listen to them? We're introverts. I'm saying we, but it's just me because introverts.
Sterling on New Year's. You and I are together on New Year's Eve, and this is the best place for us because you don't want to go out. I don't want to go out. In my life, I never went to a bar on New Year's. I thought it was terrifying. Once or twice, I went to a fancy dinner at a fancy restaurant. My big excitement on New Year's, I go to Dollar Tree, and I buy Dollar Tree junk for New Year's, a hat, a noisemaker. That's it. That's all I do. And tell me, once you have kids, don't you realize that the very worst thing you said this year so far is, sure, you can stay up on New Year's. Stay up as long as you want, and they will. Your kids ages, 5 to 15, they'll stay up as late as they want. And that means what for you? No sex, nothing special on New Year's, nothing's going to happen on New Year's. No. No, your kids are staying up as late as they want. They want to see the end of The Tonight Show. Remember when that was a goal, and now, of course, the goal is to not see the beginning of The Tonight Show. Because we found that Jimmy Fallon doesn't actually know how to do a show. He doesn't know how to ask a question and listen. He wants to be the co-star. He wants to be the co-star with every guest on the show, which drags it into deep and profound weariness and pain and suffering. But I want to go. I want my bucket list this year. My bucket list for a while has been to go to the French Riviera. And then the other part of that, I want to be with you. I have come up with all sorts of schemes with our ace creative team to figure out, how do we do this show on remote? How do I go to a location on this show? It's very different than for your local morning zoo to go to the mall and do a show. Technically, it's different because this is a network show. And there are wacky time zones and time tones. But more importantly, the big challenge is Sunday night. To find a retailer or a restaurant that's open Sunday night, staff Sunday night, willing to do this on a Sunday night. I came very close with Waffle House. Very close to doing it at a big Waffle House in a mid-Atlantic state. Very close. Keith Mortensen, we almost did it. We almost got there, Neil. Rebecca, almost. But the challenge is that unlike Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, no Waffle House has Wi-Fi, which is very smart because it means you don't park yourself in a Waffle House. You eat in a Waffle House and then you leave. Notice there are no tables of five in a Waffle House. They don't want five people. They want you to come in and leave. That is the goal of the Waffle House. Come in and eat and leave. But this way, we not only get to go to the most beautiful place on earth, but we get to meet each other. It is called a small custom tour, and it's put together by Colette Travel. They heard me talking about wanting to get together. They heard me talking about my bucket list of going to the French Riviera again, where I got engaged. And they said, well, Mr. Sterling, we can put together a top-shelf, classy, great trip for you and your listener, Midnight Misfit trip, small batch tour, custom made. And they said, what's important to you, Mr. Sterling? I said, what's important to me is to get to Monaco, Cannes, Saint-Tropez, to see some things I'd never seen before, beautiful flower gardens, a vineyard, go to a vineyard, have the head of the vineyard explain things to us, have a beautiful day in Nice, Cannes, Monaco, Saint-Tropez. 9 days, that's about right, 9 days. But, and then I said to them, to Colette Travel, I said, I don't want to move around. I want to stay in one hotel. And that's what they've set up. In Nice, we will be in one hotel for 9 days, and we'll get to travel back and forth from there. And if you don't feel like doing something on a given day, you don't do it. You just hang out and veg out. It's fine. To me, that's ideal. Plus, I get to meet you. You get to ask me questions. I get to ask you questions. We get to know each other better. This is worth the time and trouble to get the information. Just get the information. The French Riviera is on your bucket list. I know it is. Go to waltersterlingshow.com. Top of the homepage, you'll see a picture of the French Riviera. Click on it. Sign up to get the information. No one's going to bug you. But even though we have time, because it doesn't happen until October, there are mighty limited seats. The smartest thing you can do is get the information, and then you'll make an educated decision. This is the trip you want. This is the trip you've always wanted. It's with other grown-ups. It's with me. I'll make sure everything's fine. It's with my wife, Katie, so there'll be no monkey business. And you've always wanted to see the casino at Monte Carlo. Like James Bond. You'll be like James Bond at the casino in Monte Carlo. And then you'll see incredible flower gardens and a real vineyard where you'll see not California wine, you'll see French wine made. You will indulge all of your senses. This will be the best trip of your life. Put together by Colette Travel, prestigious, established, premium travel service. And they'll put it all together and answer all your questions. They're available all the time to answer your questions. So please go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Or send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And I will personally mail the brochure to you with a little note, because I'll be so flattered that you want it. waltersterlingshow.com. Lesbians in Space.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
I'm not really the fix your car, build you a dresser type lesbian. I'm more the can lift heavy things, open a tight lid, really good with babies lesbian. Which one are you?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
We get to start things again. It's almost a pagan tradition where we do things brand new. And this can happen at any age. This is the time of year and on New Year's Eve where people who have lost their job in December, they feel sad and they feel depressed and feel hopeless, coupled with the fact that in most of the country, the weather's awful. It's the worst week of weather. The days are short. You couldn't buy everything you wanted to for Christmas. You couldn't do all the celebrating at New Year's or Thanksgiving because you were laid off. And you know somebody who's been laid off. If it wasn't you, thank God, but you know somebody who's been. I'm going to share some experience because about 9 years ago, I couldn't have been in worse shape. About 9 years ago, my wife was about to have a baby. She was 8 months pregnant, and I lost a really good job. And then the worst thing for me that happened, and I was amazed, not because I'm arrogant, but because I had no experience with it, I couldn't get arrested. I could not get a job. I had a great job interview. It went terrific. Luncheon, well-connected, everybody liked me. And it was Tuesday. And they said, okay, call us on Friday and let's determine how to hire you. I call them on Friday. No answer. Finally, I say, you know, we had this, my contact person. I say to my contact person, gee, we had this good conversation with Fred. I enjoyed meeting Fred. I look forward to working for Fred. Fred died. I said, he what? Yeah, he died. That's how it went for me in trying to get a job at this time of year. About 8 or 9 years ago. Let me give you some suggestions. People, it's easy to assume that you're going to meet who your real friends are. That's not true. We have situational friendships in America. Our friendships are all situational. They're people who really like us when we are in trouble, who really like us when we're sick, like us when we're not sick, like us when we're employed. It's all situational. It's not evil. It's not bad. What you're going to find out is that you have friends who step to it when you're in trouble. What can we do for you? How can we help you? In my experience, it was a shocking list because it did not include my relatives. At no time did any relative of mine say, hey, Walter, how can we help you and your beautiful daughters? What can we do for you? I didn't hear that from one relative. And that was a shocker because they know full well I would have been there for them. It was an amazing experience for me. Your friends who are in trouble, who have lost a job, you would be surprised what helps them. They don't need the car payment, the mortgage payment, the rent payment. They need a gallon of milk, not a quart of milk. A gallon of milk is a lifestyle changer. And get them chocolate milk. Why not get chocolate milk, right? That's the opportunity. How can I help you? And listen, don't assume that they're going to say, oh, I need you to pay my rent. No, don't assume that. Say, hey, listen, how can I help you? And the answer might be, could you take care of my kids for an afternoon? Could you take care of our kids for an evening so my husband and I can have an evening of the movies? You'd be very surprised how helpful you can be just by showing up. Just by showing up and offering your help. It's New Year's on the East Coast. Congratulations, you made it. Let's have a great 2024. This is Sterling on New Year's Eve.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Here it is, 2024. Yes, you made it. You look back at 2023 and you go, I didn't do anything I wanted to do. My whole life is a bucket list. None of the things I wanted to do, I've done. You can change all of it. And there have been people in our culture and society who actually did change all of it. And you and I will talk about that coming up in just seconds. It's about 7 minutes past the hour, which means lesbians in space. On the sevens.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras?
How long ago was the breakup?
Like 2 years ago, but, you know, it's still, like, rough.
Yeah, I get it. Do you? You're pretty hot. You should definitely, like, be my girl. Without, like, the officialness, you know? Because, like, I'm not ready for that yet. And, I mean, honestly, I'm probably not going to be ever, so.
Okay. But, like, are you still gonna talk to other people?
I'm probably not, so you probably shouldn't, because I'm not. But, like, if I do, you can't get mad at me, because, like, we're not official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just, like, really emotionally unavailable right now, so, like, I really don't want to hold you down. But, like, I'm probably not gonna talk to other people, so you probably shouldn't either.
Okay. Do you think, like, down the road you'll be open to, like, a real relationship?
Probably not.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if this is gonna work.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
From social media, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is being criticized for invoking the Israel-Hamas war into her Christmas message. She wrote in part, quote, "In the story of Christmas, Christ was born in modern-day Palestine under the threat of a government engaged in a massacre of innocents. Thousands of years later, right-wing forces are violently occupying Bethlehem as similar stories unfold for today's Palestinians, so much so that the Christian community in Bethlehem has canceled this year's Christmas Eve celebration out of both fear for their safety and respect." Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee joins me now to respond to that. I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts, Governor. What do you think about her Christmas message?
Well, there's a lot to unpack in that, Carly. Yeah. First of all, is she not aware that Jesus was Jewish? Is she not aware that the whole term Palestinian meant Jewish people until 1962, when Yasser Arafat co-opted the term and created a nation and made up a people and called them the Palestinians, who previously were Jordanian? Is she aware at all of the fact that when she talks about how Bethlehem is not letting the Christians celebrate Christmas, back in the 80s, and I was going there since 1973, but in the 80s, up until then, 80% of the population of Bethlehem was Christian. 20% was something else. Now it's 80% Muslim, and there's only about 15% Christian, because the Christians were pretty much burned out and shut down by the radical Muslims who took it over back during the Intifada. So this is a person who is utterly ignorant about what she's talking about, and she may ought to stick to something she knows, like bartending.
I get to enjoy on New Year's Eve Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. All right, now you name me another show that comes anywhere close to offering the entertainment value of Lesbians in Space on the Sevens. Right now, on Amazon Prime and BritBox, is a four-part special worth your time. It's called Archie, and you want to see this because it is about the life of the most famous, successful movie actor of the 20th century, Cary Grant. Cary Grant's life was, oh my God, I can't even begin to believe his life. And what he did is, well, we can learn from it. Here's the trailer from Amazon Prime from BritBox for Archie.
They want you to change your name. Archie Leach doesn't cut it. Anything come to mind?
Cary Grant.
Cut! Cary Grant is a character. Be very careful about how he's perceived.
When am I going to see Mother again?
No, please, I want to go home!
You know what's wrong with you?
No, why?
Nothing.
So it's okay to have a silly child in real life, but in La La Land it makes you look ridiculous?
We're all fakes in this town, aren't we, Cary?
Was one of the most successful film actors ever. And from 1940 to 1980... he was easily the most successful film actor. He was rich. He was loaded because he was so smart. While the studio system existed and all of these big stars got signed up to long-term contracts for a specified amount of money, when his first contract ran out, he did not get it renewed. He was an independent from about 1932 until he died, and that meant that he picked his scripts, his directors, his movies, and his deals. In 1945, 1950, he was getting $100,000 to $500,000 in advance for a movie, and then a percent of the gross. Other actors never got percents of the gross. He was the first one to do that. He said, well, fine, you want me? It's going to be $500,000 now, and then 10% of the gross forever. And he got it. And he did his part. He was prepared. He knew his lines. He showed up on time. He did his part. And more importantly, he sold out, sold out. He knew the numbers. He knew his numbers. But in order to become Cary Grant, he had to stop being who he was born, which is Archie Leach. And what we learn in Archie is that Cary Grant had the worst childhood of anybody you could ever imagine. I'm not going to do any spoilers for you. You have to see this. He had the worst childhood. And when he got to America from Britain, a casting agent said, okay, well, Archie Leach isn't going to work. You need to come up with a new name. And he came up with the name Cary Grant. And Cary Grant was not his stage name. Cary Grant was a new persona. Cary Grant was everything he imagined a great, romantic, leading man should be. You will not find Cary Grant on The Tonight Show. You won't find him on any talk show, because he could not risk a slip in the character of Cary Grant. It was all a character. One of his famous lines was, gee, you know, Mr. Grant, I wish I could be Cary Grant. And he said, yeah, I do too. Because that was the battle his whole life, was to escape that childhood, to escape who he really was, and to build and create this fake persona. But he's not the only one who did that. He's not the only one who did that. You do it every day. You are a different person at work than you are at home. You are a different person at work than you are at home. This has caused a challenge for those of us who work from home. Thanks to COVID, we have no experience with them being the same person all day. We have learned that many of us would much prefer to leave the home to have the work persona, which is different. It might be a little different, or it might be a lot different, but it's different. And I'll share with you some other examples. But I think your job this year, in 2024, your job is to come up with a more productive persona, to come up with a more productive way to face the world, to be the person who you've either dreamed of being or the person who you'd actually like to work with or work for, and to present that face to the world. And it's important because I know just little things. I know that in many years working at big corporations that you've heard of, I could sort of spot who was going to get ahead and who wasn't. And the people who were not going to get ahead were the ones who brought home with them to work. They took personal days. Okay, you can take a vacation day. You can take a sick day. I have the flu. I feel terrible. I'd love to come in. I just can't do it today, but I'll be in tomorrow. Okay, no problem. I'd like to take a vacation day next Friday. Oh, okay, you have a right to take your vacation days. Go right ahead. Thanks for the notice. I need a personal day. Oh, really? Oh, really? You need a personal day? Has HR approved your personal day? You won't get to be president of the company if you start taking personal days. We put on a different persona at work in order to get ahead. But the people who don't put on a different persona at work do not get ahead. You and I will talk more about this in just seconds. Happy New Year. I hope you have a blessed 2024. It's an honor to be with you on this brand new show tonight. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ringo.
I love playing live. I mean, that's what it's all about for me. That's the gig. If you want to connect with an audience, you've got to love them. You've got to love what you do, and you got to love them because that's why you're there, because they've come out to see you. Bars, pubs, clubs, weddings, anywhere. There's a magic moment when the band and the audience are just on. And that's a lot of peace and love. So when I tour now, you know, I love the audience. They love me. And we have certain gigs where it's just heart-filling.
Buddy.
What?
Can I ask you a serious question? So you know how Sarah's been trying to get pregnant?
Yeah, for a while now.
Yeah, with James?
With James,
so yeah. She asked me to ask you if you could help her because for some reason with James, it's not working.
What?
And James gave her permission to ask, too.
James said, okay.
Yeah. Because I think they're, like, desperate at this point.
How about you?
What do you mean about me?
You okay with me helping?
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah's an attractive girl.
What does her being attractive have anything to do with it?
I thought you wanted me to help.
Yeah, you can help her.
Yeah, like, help. Like
what?
What do you mean, what? Like, I'm gonna have to get in there.
No, baby! You will go to a center! And they'll take yours and they'll take hers. What were you thinking? That's why you thought she was attractive?
No, I don't think she's attractive.
Sterling on New Year's Eve. It's 2024 on the East Coast, and we got 2 hours to go on the West Coast. This is a brand new radio show. Yes, a brand new radio show for New Year's Eve. How other broadcasters get away with the best of, I don't know, but they're irresponsible. They should not be allowed to broadcast. You and I have a special relationship in the 18-wheeler and the 4-wheeler, leaving the relatives. Oh, my gosh, we finally get to leave the relatives. We get to escape from the horrible party. You didn't have to go to that party. You did not miss anything if you didn't go to a New Year's party. You missed nothing. Because after somebody had the first drink, they have no memory of whether or not you were there, and they don't care if you were there. You have no business being there. It's not for us. We're introverts. We don't need loud people around. That's not what we need. We need solitude. We need peace and quiet. I'm talking about Cary Grant and this great BritBox series, and I don't like BritBox things. I like Amazon Prime things, and it's also on Amazon Prime. It's called Archie. It's just 4 episodes, and it's the life of Cary Grant, and it's spectacular. It's well done. And you won't believe what this man did to become Cary Grant and to stay Cary Grant his whole life and how he did everything by the book of Cary Grant. But he was really Archie Leach. And he had to do he wasn't raised in a country club. He wasn't raised by people who sounded like Cary Grant or knew how to dress like Cary Grant. He didn't know that world. He had to learn it. Because he realized that if he could become that perfect gentleman, he would be perfectly wealthy. And that's what he wanted more than anything, because he never wanted to be hungry again, because he had spent a youth in hunger. He never wanted it again. And how he achieved that is a remarkable story. But he's not the only one who took on a different persona. And I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to share with you. I'd like you to listen to the Mad Daddy, who was a big top 40 disc jockey in Cleveland and New York City in 1957 to 1965. Huge disc jockey, like a big deal guy. Listen to the Mad Daddy.
Hello, Monday. Here it comes, Mad Daddy's show. You can tell by the drums. It's 10:12 here on the Monday scene. Rapidly becoming 10:13. Bubbling up in our wavy pots. Coming your way on 50,000 watts. Something that hangs from the ceiling. Something that kind of gets you rocking and reeling. Something that will have you zipping and zooming in just 2 minutes, is it, pretty woman? Here it comes. I told you weeks ago it was going to score. Official wins winning number 4, Roy Harper.
The Mad Daddy. Now I'd like you to listen to Pete Myers, another great disc jockey, very successful, about the same time. Please listen to Pete Myers.
Round and round it goes, the wonderful sound of music on WNEW, 24 hours a day. 13 minutes away from 6, bumper-to-bumper style is where we are right now. Pete Myers with you, advising you to stay where you are for a check on the news at 6 o'clock, and then William B. Williams at 4:15. All right? Okay.
All right. Mad Daddy, you heard him, and you heard Pete Myers, erudite, official, very serene Pete Myers, versus the Mad Daddy. It was the same guy. It was the same person. It was Mad Daddy and Pete Myers. And Pete Myers, an erudite, very professional announcer, really wanted to be the Mad Daddy. That's all he loved doing, was to be the Mad Daddy. And he got giant ratings in Cleveland, got recruited to New York to be the Mad Daddy on a sophisticated Sinatra station. And the audience heard him once, raised holy hell, said, "You will not put him on again." Hundreds and hundreds of phone calls to WNEW after they put him on at night over a July 4th weekend, showing their cowardice. You know, they wanted younger listeners. Let's have younger listeners. Well, they were going to get no listeners with the Mad Daddy on WNEW AM, a Sinatra station. And they said, well, you got 3 years to go on your contract, Pete. You have to do what we say. We need you to be calm, pleasant, professional Pete Myers and not the screaming Mad Daddy. Play the Pete Myers on WNEW again. Can you do that?
Round and round it goes, the wonderful sound of music on WNEW, 24 hours a day. 13 minutes away from 6, bumper-to-bumper style is where we are right now. Pete Myers with you, advising you to stay where you are for a check on the news at 6 o'clock, and then William B. Williams at quarter past. All right? Okay.
Not the Mad Daddy. 27 past the hour. Time for Lesbians in Space.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bras? The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien life with benefits.
Lesbians in Space again at 37 past the hour, 47 past the hour, and 57 past the hour on New Year's Eve. It's a special treat. Lesbians in Space on the sevens. Is there any other radio show that comes even close to this? No, but listen, I really want to hit my bucket list this year and go on vacation with you on a small batch tour of the French Riviera, Monaco, Saint-Tropez, Nice, Cannes, where all the movie stars go, where the awards are handed out, a French winery, a perfumery. We're going to have the best time. Oh, and the casino at Monte Carlo. The casino at Monte Carlo. Get the information about this trip. I want you to go with me. It's not till next October, but there aren't a lot of seats. Go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Click on the picture of the French Riviera and just get the information. Or send me an email, if that's more comfortable for you, waltermsterling@gmail.com, with your real mailing address. And I will personally send you the brochure and a note. That's waltersterlingshow.com. Or my email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And give me your real address, and you will get exactly one thing from me. Not 400 pieces of literature the rest of your life. One thing, which is an incredible custom brochure about the Midnight Misfit Tour of the French Riviera. You're not going to get like a big book of tours. No, no, this is custom for us, for Midnight Misfits, to my specs. It enables you and me to get comfortable with each other, to get us to know each other. We'll have the best time. WalterMSterling@gmail.com, or just go to the website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Click on the picture of the Mediterranean. There couldn't be anything better. This is your bucket list. It's time to cross it off. New Year's Eve, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Mark Simone.
I'm sure they love their country, but they don't like their country. They don't like Friday night football. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like the 4th of July. It's the worst day of the year for them.
A priest walks outside the Vatican and sees two beggars. One has a Jewish star around his neck. The other has a cross. The Jewish beggar has a basket with a few pennies in it. The other beggar has a basket overflowing with bills. The priest takes pity. He walks up to the Jewish beggar and he says, you know, given where you are, the Jewish star might not be helping you. The Jewish beggar turns to the other beggar and he says, hey, Moishi, look who's trying to teach us about marketing.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a Christmas story. So it's the holidays again, and every November, the NYPD hands out an edict called the Holiday Integrity Program. So probably about the second week in November, it comes across the teletype that says, be sure not to shop on duty, drink alcohol on duty, and it gives a list of do's and don'ts. Now, the NYPD already has a series of checks and balances to make sure cops don't play out of bounds, and it starts at the precinct level. So every NYPD precinct or specialized unit has what's called an integrity control officer, ICO. Their job is to make sure you're not drinking on duty, you're not sleeping on duty, your uniform is squared away, and they just make they mind the store at the precinct level. Then every borough has an inspections unit, and that's usually a sergeant and a lieutenant, and they drive around in an unmarked car, and they look to catch cops getting a haircut on duty or shopping on duty or going through a red light when there's no emergency call. Then you have those fun-loving men and women of the Internal Affairs Division, and they lay in wait just hoping to catch you doing something wrong. So with the Holiday Integrity Program, things kind of speed up a little bit. And what these different specialized units will do is they'll follow you around. They'll pull up to a marked NYPD police car. They'll show their ID. I'm Captain Sullivan from Internal Affairs. Please pull over to the side. They usually make you pull into a parking lot or something. They'll look in the back seat of the radio car to make sure you weren't shopping on duty. And they'll also make you pop open the trunk of the car. The more discreet ones would wait at the precinct at the end of your shift when you're coming in to see if you had been shopping on duty. If you do get caught shopping on duty or doing something on duty that you're not supposed to, you get what's called a command discipline, and you can lose up to 5 vacation days. Early in my NYPD career, one of the civilians that worked in the precinct, or PA, a police administrative aide, asked me to give her a ride. And I said, "Where are you going?" And she goes, "I got to see a man about a horse." So I didn't ask too many questions. And my partner and I drove up Broadway with this civilian employee in the back seat. She goes, "Stop right here." She gets out of the car and she walks around Broadway. And I'm looking at my partner. I go, "What do you think she's doing?" He goes, "Well, she's doing something she doesn't want us to know about." She comes back about 10 minutes later, and it looks like there's a bottle of liquor in a sleeve of a paper bag. And I said, "Did you see the horse?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, he won by 2/5. So it was obvious to us she had purchased a bottle. Now, had we gotten caught, we probably would have gotten that command discipline and gotten relieved of a couple of vacation days. So the end of the day, it all balanced out, and we had a Merry Christmas. And be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
The worst thing that you can do to your husband is undermining him in public. It is humiliating. It is degrading. And there is no reason for it other than anger and toxicity. There is no reason to contradict your husband in public because it is disrespectful and it undermines the other person's sense of self. It undermines their self-esteem because you are correcting them in public. You're calling him an idiot. So what you're doing is you are signaling to everyone there in public that you don't believe in him and they shouldn't believe in him. You're the wife. You know him better than anyone else. You spend hours with him. If you think he's wrong, he must be wrong. This doesn't mean you have to agree with everything he says. Disagree with him all you want. Just tell him privately.
Exactly. This is the biggest mistake that women make with their husbands. The only thing that poor guy's got left, since it's been a long time since he's had sex, is his dignity. The minute you berate, criticize, challenge your husband in public to outside ears, he's already lost the discussion. He has already lost that debate. Doesn't matter what you've said. Doesn't matter what he says. The minute you say anything critical of him in public, he's lost. The minute you say anything critical of him that your children can hear, his ability to be an effective father is diminished. What my mother used to do, what my father used to do, I realize now is brilliant. Is I never heard any of that. I never heard her being questioning him or challenging him ever, because what they used to do is go for a ride. They'd get in the car and they'd go for a ride. "We're going to go for a little ride now. We just need to get out of the house." And then they'd get in the car. They would talk for 20, 30, 50 minutes, whatever it was, and they'd come home and then life went on. But they had their, quote, fight in the car, away from our ears, so that it wouldn't diminish either of them in our ears. That's how you do it. She's right. She's a therapist based in Florida. If you didn't know it was in Florida, I don't know what's wrong with you. But that was the situation. That was the situation. It's New Year's on the East Coast. 2024 on the East Coast, and Happy New Year to you. This is the year you get to be who you want to be. You can make it up. People say, well, I'll do this resolution, I'll lose the weight, I'll start saving money. You're not going to do any of that. But what you can do is you can decide who you want to be. The character, yes, character like Cary Grant or the Mad Daddy, decide who you want to be and build that persona and never get it wrong, never be inconsistent. If who you decide to be dresses a certain way, you always dress that way. If who you want to be is a certain level of manners, politeness, eruditeness, intellectualism, always do that. But do it toward a very selfish goal, which is, what do I really want? What the heck is the point of getting up each day and getting through the day? Getting through the day. We were not given this gift of life to get through the day. We were given this incredible gift to be helpful to others, to be happy, joyous, and free. That's what we've been given. And maybe I have to adjust my persona. Maybe I have to adjust who I project to the world in order to get what I imagine I want or need. And I believe that if I behave in a certain way consistently and of service to other people, not because it'll make me feel good or because I'll get paid. No, service is just something that needs to be done. That's what service is. Service is done because it needs to be done. And if I take that attitude toward it and I project this all day, every day, I believe my life will get better. How about you? So that's my resolution. My resolution is to not to lose weight, but to have a meaningful goal of who I'd like to be. It's very easy for me to get caught up in crap. It's very easy for me to go down the list of things I deserve or that I should be given. But none of that's true. All I have control over is me. If I want a pencil and I say, hey, will you give me a pencil, and you don't give me a pencil, I have no control over that. You have control of your pencil. And that's the truth of the world. We get to be who we decide to be. It's Happy New Year time. It's 2024 on the East Coast. This is a brand new Sterling on Sunday. I have no idea why anybody would do a best of. How could there be a best of something that is supposed to be live? It's all very confusing to me. I'm not smart enough to do a best of. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
How long ago was the breakup?
Like 2 years ago, but, you know, it's still, like, rough.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you? You're pretty hot. You should definitely, like, be my girl. Without, like, the officialness, you know? Because, like, I'm not ready for that yet. And, I mean, honestly, I'm probably not going to be ever, so.
Okay, but, like, are you still gonna talk to other people?
I'm probably not, so you probably shouldn't, because I'm not. But, like, if I do, you can't get mad at me, because, like, we're not official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm just, like, really emotionally unavailable right now, so, like, I really don't want to hold you down. But, like, I'm probably not gonna talk to other people, so you probably shouldn't either.
Okay. Do you think, like, down the road you'll be open to, like, a real relationship?
Probably not.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if this is gonna work.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Hey guys, let's talk about what your ER doctor really thinks. My name's Rochelle, and I've been an ER doctor for about 25 years. Let me just say this. Nothing accidentally goes in your butt. Nothing accidentally ends up in your butt. We don't have a problem with you coming in if something's in your butt. That's fine. Just come in and tell us how it got in your butt. But nothing accidentally went in there. We get lots of stories like, oh, I slipped and fell in the shower and the shampoo bottle went up my butt. No. Mm-mm. That's not how that happened. Again, we don't care. Honest to God, it's okay to tell us that you were having fun or you were experimenting or whatever. Doesn't matter. We don't care. But I just want you to know that we know. Nothing accidentally goes in your butt. Have a good day.
Oh, my gosh. Don't we love her? Good evening. It's New Year's, 2024 on the East Coast, still 2023 on the West Coast, but in 10 minutes, it will be midnight in the Mountain Zone. And I told you, the blessing you have tonight is that you are not, excuse me, you are not, I'm just a mess, you know, just a mess tonight. I had to deal with Christmas, which meant I had to deal with relatives, and the terrible insecurities that come up with Christmas. Did I give enough? Did I give enough? Did the gift I send, was it enough? And did I get enough relative to how much I gave? I don't know. I have a terrific sister-in-law, my brother's wife, and my own sister. They're very generous with my children. Could not ask for more, way beyond the call of duty, and I appreciate it. And I suspect it's just to compensate for their incredible guilt over having done nothing for me and my kids when we really needed the help 8 years ago, 9 years ago. It was really bad. And knew, because I had had a long history of being very well employed and being very generous with my relatives while I was very well employed. And therefore, I expected that when... But you see, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Tell her your plans. That's the challenge. But it's New Year's. And what you and I were talking about is that as misfits, we don't fit in. We don't get along. We don't know how to be team players. Be a team player. Well, I think it's really important to be a team player. If you're Trevor Lawrence in the NFL, that's where you should be a team player. Otherwise, I insist on being a lone wolf. I work alone. I spent most of my career working physically alone and putting out results that were really good. But if I had to put out those results with a team, it would not have been as good. I would not have been as effective. How about you? But I think our goal this year, my goal this year, is to take my persona to the Cary Grant level. No, I'll never look like Cary Grant. I'll never be that charming. But Cary Grant made all of that up. He was born Archie Leach, and you can see this series on Amazon Prime. See Archie. Watch it. It's a stunning, heartbreaking story of this man who decided from a very young age that he was not going to be Archie Leach. He was going to be Cary Grant, and all that meant. But he was not raised in a country club with wealth, with expensive clothes. He had to learn what was needed to be the perfect gentleman, and then do it, and do it consistently, and he couldn't afford a crack in that persona. That's why you'll never see him on The Tonight Show. You'll never find an interview of him on any talk show, because he knew one wrong answer could screw up the whole thing. He knew that, and therefore he wasn't going to give any wrong answers, and he was a recluse. He was apparently a recluse. Meanwhile, at 62, he had his first kid, a daughter, and he retired from filmmaking. He retired as a movie star at the top of his craft, at the top of his earning, turned down James Bond, and took care of his daughter, Jennifer. And she says he was a great father, loving, funny. He was a funny father. He was the funny dad. And he knew how to entertain, didn't he? But that's what you and I can do. We can decide on a new persona, but it only matters if I have a specific goal. Like, what is the persona going to be? One of them I achieved really early on. There was a brilliant programmer, radio programmer, brilliant, came up with incredible ideas, named Bill Drake. And when I was in college, there was an article about him in Newsweek, about this powerful man who programmed all these radio stations. But the photo of him was him on a raft in a swimming pool with a red phone next to him at the pool. Well, the red phone allegedly connected him to all of his radio stations that he consulted. And he could pick up the phone at any time and talk to the disc jockey and tell them what to do. And I'm looking at this picture of Bill Drake on a raft in a pool with a red phone. And I'm like, I'm 20, I'm in college. I'm like, that's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. And it was for RKO Radio. And you know what? 10 years later, I did that. I was Bill Drake. I had the same responsibility and the same freedom to lie on a raft with a red phone and call in ideas. Okay, so I get that job, and I find out that Bill never used the red phone except once. Only one person ever knew of him using the red phone, and it was to make a request. I swear to you, to make a request. But in order to get that job, I did every single thing to create the persona of the right person in that position, to meet and greet all the way up to get that job. It was a jewel of a job in its day to be head of programming for RKO Radio. That's what you wanted to be. But that didn't come from knowledge. I was only 30, 31. What knowledge would I have had? None. I had no knowledge. I had a persona that you met me. I had the right suit, the right tie, the right shoes, and I knew enough. And that's what I learned, that most of the people you and I work with on any given day, they just know enough. But they're all coming to work with the imposter syndrome. They're all coming to work with, is today the day I'm going to get caught? Is today the day they're going to find out I don't know anything? Is the day today they're going to tap me on the shoulder and say, you, George, come with us down the hall. Yes? Door shut. George, we realize that you don't know anything. We should have spotted it early on in the interview process, but you don't know anything, George. Therefore, you're going to have to leave. Most of the people you and I work with them, carry that belief that today is the day we're going to get caught. What lie did you tell to get the job you have now? That was a great topic I saw on Fox 29 on their Good Morning After show on Fox 29 in Philadelphia. They did a segment on what did you, they went around to the staff and said, what lie did you tell to get this job? And it was hysterical. And that would be a fine topic for Sterling on Sunday. In fact, that's what we're going to start with next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. at KFBK in Sacramento. My deepest thanks to Dave Scalish, to Sean. Thank you, Sean, who puts out a great podcast called Sean Speaks. I hope so. But it's a really good podcast. Frank Canal, David Yadgaroff, Greg Stocker, Gary Arnell, all the great people at WPHT in Philadelphia who put together this show and enable the nation to hear Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Ebb Sterling, and the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help. Happy New Year.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.